stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Your host, Dr. June. I'm so excited to be with you here in October. We are gearing up for the Nashville Authors and Artists Expo coming up on October the 17th. It's on a Saturday from 11 to 2 is the actual expo, and then from 2 to 3 is worship. Now, you know we are Worship City USA, so if you are anywhere in the trifold states, come on down and meet all of these people. Amen. Now, today we have the honor of featuring one of the hottest bands in the state of Tennessee, and that is Sons of Thunder. Hallelujah. How y'all doing, guys?
Doing great.
Amen.
Thank you.
Listen, these people know how to take you into the throne room. They are so anointed. So listen, we are going to start off and ask the group, if you don't mind sharing your testimony about your personal life, what God did to bring you to the point now that you give your life into worship, and either one can start, that's fine. And if you don't mind starting out sharing your name and what city you live in.
Go ahead, Tom.
All right. I guess I got voted to go first, so this is
hard. Yeah.
I'm currently living in Clarksville, Tennessee, and June, I'll try to make it short because really the work of God in somebody's life, you could do a whole radio show just on that alone.
Yeah.
But for me, I guess the Cliff Notes, no pun intended, Cliff, version of it is is I had kind of grown up around the church, but not really understanding the gospel itself. And so for me, in growing up, I kind of did the church thing, went to church, didn't quite get the idea of being born again. And so I thought everything was fine because, you know, by being around church, that made me a Christian. So that it's kind of like the same thinking that if you sleep in the garage, it makes you a car, which, you know, or if you sleep at an airport, it makes you an airplane. And none of that's true. So it took a season of God wooing me and working in my life over the years and to get the revelation that God wanted to be both Lord and Savior of my life. And with that, it took a while to even get the idea of that I had to be born again. And it went through, you know, the college years and then when I was in the Army and struggling with a lot of these ideas and wanting to do my own thing. I even came to the place that I had kind of like worked out a deal on my side. These are the things I was going to do for God. You know, I was going to go to flight school, and then I was going to be a missionary, and I was going to fly medical supplies and be a medical missionary in either Africa or South America. But when you surrender yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and when you come to the end of, you know, all your intellectual, ideas and stuff. And that's what happened for me is
in college. Amen, brother.
The end of all of these ideas. I know, it, you don't really realize it, but in college I had all this religious studies and psychology and philosophy. And I remember coming to this very point during that time of my life and asking the question, with all of this knowledge and all this stuff, did I even really believe that Jesus Christ was who he said he was? Was he even real? And for me, that brought me right to the precipice, to the point of having to make a decision. Either intellectually, I'm going to have to decide that higher learning and all these things that it says is right, but if I'm wrong, that's, I'm endangering my soul to eternal hell. And that was a very scary place to come to for me. And so what happened in that season is that I realized the fear of God. And, you know, Proverbs says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And so I came to the conclusion about Jesus either had to be who he says he was, or he was a liar, Lord, or a lunatic, and that was it. And so if he was actually Lord and actually raised from the grave, and 500 people witnessed it, and 11 disciples saw it, 10 of them under pain of torture and death did not recant their position that Jesus Christ raised from the grave, then I had to take that very serious, and that's helped me understand at that point the lordship of Jesus Christ, that he was fully Lord. So that meant that everything that he said was fully, he was either fully God or fully wasn't, so he had to be. So that helped me work through all of that head knowledge of what you can get yourself into, and then I came to that place where I realized that Jesus is who he says he is. And that if he is, then he's Lord of all. And so that was a place of brokenness and surrender. And it's like when Peter preaches to the church in Acts chapter 4, he says, this Christ whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Savior. And so when I realized that he was Lord and Savior, see, I wanted the Savior part, but I really didn't want the Lord. I wanted to get out of jail free card, but I didn't want to surrender my whole life to him.
Right.
And I couldn't. I really couldn't, even though I wanted to intellectually, until I was born again. And when I was born again, Christ took up residence in me. And because of the Christ in me, he gave me his desires to follow what the Lord wants. And then he gave me his grace. Then through his grace, I was able to then do the will of God. And that changed my life. And the question that you asked is how, you know, kind of a testimony. It's part of it. The second part was, how did we get to praise and worship? And what happened is when I started to understand the gospel, and God started leading me through the years of musician and ministry and different jobs, from youth pastor to maybe associate pastor to working with different ministries and things, it all ended up focusing on prayer and worship. And with that, when the gospel message came, I realized something that, honestly, there was a season I had probably hundreds of worship songs. I threw away probably 80% of my worship songs that I had learned and done because a lot of them were focused on me and what I was doing for God. And he left me with this part, and this is where I started meeting up with Cliff and the guys and Sons of Thunder after being involved in the House of Prayer ministries and different worship teams, was that when Jesus was walking down the road to Emmaus, and he was blinded to the eyes of the other two guys, these two men said, when Jesus revealed himself from the scriptures, our hearts were ablaze. And that changed how I did worship. That changed everything in my thinking, because at that point I realized, we don't have to coach people how to love the bridegroom. We don't have to teach the bride how to respond to the beautiful one. We don't have to teach the bride or coach her or tell her. We don't even have to be cheerleaders. All we have to do is reveal Christ, who he is, the worship of him, and what he's done, the praise of what he's done, if we can reveal him from Scripture in our songs and in our worship and in our prayer, the bride with the Holy Spirit in their hearts will respond with hearts burning to the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we try to focus with.
That is profound. That is awesome.
So that's what we're doing. That's what we try to focus on, is revealing Jesus, what he's done and who he is, through song, prayer, and preaching. And let the hearts that are filled with the Holy Spirit burn in response to Jesus.
That's awesome. Now listen, people, that was Tony Nobles. Now we're going to Cliff Farrell. Cliff, tell us about you.
Okay, I grew up in church and went to a Baptist church, and it was dead, and I never saw anybody get healed, never saw any power, so I pretty much said, I'm going to the bars, because I was a musician, and they were having a whole lot more fun, so I just hit the bar scene. I played in all the bars, I played in all the clubs. I've been in every club on the East Coast, probably, part of them, and I moved to Nashville. My cousin was a songwriter. He wrote for Tree International for a year, and we moved out here to Nashville, and I got into the music scene out here, played on the road. And anyway, my dad retired, and I went back home to take over his farm, and I was miserable. I got on drugs real bad because I was not happy at all. I was 34 years old, and I was a heroin addict, and I couldn't stop, and I didn't know what to do, and I pretty much was almost dead. I was living in my car, and I'm trying to make this short and sweet, but basically my parents told me, just don't even come around them no more. I mean, I was just a mess, and my parents, they're tough love people. I mean, they know how to say, get down the road. You know, most drug addicts have an enabler in their family, or a mama or a daddy, I've seen over the years, and who enables them. And usually they end up ODing because of that enabler. But I was lucky. My parents told me to hit the road and don't come back around if this is the way I was going to live, because I was a mess. And I was living in my car, and I was, I was taking African-American guys around in my car. We were stealing for drugs, to get drugs. I mean, that's how bad it was. I think I weighed about 98 pounds. I mean, I was almost dead. And I was in the woods on July 24th. And about 9 p.m. that night, I just was sick of it. I was sick of everything. I finally came to the end of my rope, and I was at the bottom of the barrel, finally. And I had prayed 1,000 times before this, and nothing ever happened. But I started to cry out that night like I'd never had before. And I looked up in the sky, and I said, Jesus, if you made all this, you could help me. And I just began to sob and cry. And it was like I said his name 3 or 4 times. And on the last time I said his name, I felt like 500 pounds came off of my back. And all of a sudden, I had joy, and I was happy. And the second before that, I was miserable and didn't care if I lived.
Dwayne.
Hello?
This is Dwayne. Hello?
Hey, Dwayne. Hey. We'll get to you in just a moment. Go ahead, Cliff.
Yeah, but anyway, I basically was delivered instantly that night, and didn't want the drug. And God told me immediately to move back to Nashville that night in my spirit. So I sold the car I had to buy another car so I could have a couple $100. I moved back to Nashville with $200 in my pocket, a $400 car. Anyway, God's made a way, and I got involved in my first Pentecostal church because I knew I was drunk on the Spirit for 3 weeks. I would wake up at night crying and worshiping with my hands up, and I had never seen anything like it. So I didn't know what was going on. I just knew something major had happened in my life. And a friend of mine turned me on to another friend of his. He was a Baptist. He thought I was crazy. He turned me on to another friend of his who was charismatic, and he turned me on to Mike Bickle's book, Passion for Jesus, which I read, and it revealed everything to me. I mean, Mike was talking about the bridegroom and the bride, and he was talking about all the Song of Solomon stuff, about how when the bride met the bridegroom and was just overtaken by his presence, and he, all the bride wanted to do was lay up under the shade tree and just be in the presence. And I knew exactly what was going on then. I know God gave me that book. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
And then anyway, I got in my first Pentecostal church, and I got on the praise team immediately, and God called me to lead worship, which I didn't want to be a worship leader, but I finally gave in to that. And anyway, that's basically where I've been. My wife and I, Kim and who God gave me, my wife, shortly after that, about a year after that, and we've been leading worship now for probably 15 years or so in different areas, and we felt led to do this Sons of Thunder thing, and God's really blessed us, and we've just been touring and going to a lot of places in the Middle Tennessee, Kentucky area. But that's basically my little deal. Who's next?
Okay, well, thank you so much for that, Cliff. Now we'll move on with you, Dwayne. Do you mind telling the bride your life story?
Yeah, I just got on the line here. I didn't mean to butt in. I didn't realize it had connected. Well, with me, about 15 years ago, exactly, now that I think about it, I'd never been in church at all at any point in my life. I started getting some dreams. I got three dreams that were identical several months apart, and I realize now that it was God trying to show me that everything I'd looked for in life, that I'd tried to fill that hole inside of me with, would never work. And I did try to fill that. You'll know what I'm talking about when I never felt like you found what you were born for, you know, whether it be drugs or relationships. Man, I raced stock cars. I did just all kind of stuff trying to fill that void, you know, that excitement that I tried to get from everything. And I was left just miserable. And after this third dream, I'd hired a boy that was a Pentecostal young guy, and that day I come in and said, man, I keep having this same dream over and over, and I told him what it was, and as soon as I told him, he just laughed at me and said, man, you're looking for Jesus. And as soon as he said that, I knew with everything in me that was the truth. That's what I was looking for, and it even made sense to me. The dream did. So I immediately went to the only thing I kind of felt comfortable with, and that was a little local Baptist church I'd been driving by, and I'd been noticing it and felt drawn to it, and had never walked into it. After that, I started going, and you know, and immediately my life was changed, but I soon fell away and started struggling with sin again. And then I just felt shame from it, and it caused me to just kind of totally fall away over a period of time. And I quit going to church, and I don't know, about a year and a half ago, I really knew deep inside of me what it was to overcome, to have power from God, was to totally give your life 100% everything over to God. And I finally got to a point where I could do that. A few weeks before I got to this point, Cliff had invited me to start playing music with him at a church, leading worship. And I'd been playing music out in the bars and clubs, and man, that was very dissatisfying to me. I thought that's what I wanted, but there again, I just wasn't finding happiness in it. So I start playing music with Cliff. A few weeks go by, and all of a sudden, see, I'd fell back into doing drugs again, smoking pot. I'd been on pain pills for 14 years straight. I'd struggled with other things. In just a few weeks of being around him and the group and playing music, I just noticed that all of a sudden I didn't want to do these things anymore. And I knew something was happening to me. And finally, one day, I call it, I drew the line in the sand and said, Lord, I'm ready now to give everything to you. I mean, anything you tell me to do, Lord, I'll do it. But I want everything you got. I want to have power over sin. I don't want to struggle like I've been struggling. And from that moment on, I mean, just one thing after another, God's overcome it in my life. You know, I haven't struggled, but I got off the pain pills immediately. The smoke.
Thank you, Jesus.
Drinking, I was making moonshine. I mean, just all kind of stuff, man. I've overcome it. And I see now that the power comes through being defeated, giving up, and realizing you can't do it, and you'll never do it. But the power of God will come on you when you're born again.
Yeah.
You totally surrender. It will come upon you, and you will start having victory over sin in your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was miraculous. It left me changed forever. And, man, playing worship music with these guys, I've just found what I love. It seems like it's what I was created for. So I'm enjoying it. I love doing what we do. We stay pretty busy now. And that's kind of where I am. You know, it was about a 15-year journey from the time of first getting exposed to the Lord and knowing that's what I needed and what I was looking for until I got to a point where I could totally give up everything.
Now, listen, Brian, this is Dwayne Chappelle. Is that how you say your last name, Dwayne?
Chappell, but that's okay.
Chappell, okay, I'm sorry. You know, I'm the southern accent. But anyways, he does the drums, and Tony and Cliff, they both do the guitar. And Cliff's wife helps him in singing. That's Miss Kim. I don't know if she's here and can say hi to everybody.
I don't think she could come today. She was she's at work today doing some stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. Well, listen, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick little commercial break, and when we come back, we are going to play one of their newest hits, and then after we do that, they're going to share a word with the bride. So let's take a quick little commercial. Reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platforms? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communication can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is souls. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Pay me. Okay, Bride, here we go. This is Sons of Thunder, Nashville, Tennessee.
Deep darkness covers the people in the land. Many have become lovers, money of themselves, disobedient to parents, unholy like hell. Darkness, deep darkness covers the people and the land. Right time, light is come, glory of the Lord risen upon you now. Let your holy light shine. Satan is raging, raging in the land. Bright is rising, purified she stands. Darkness, deep darkness, covers the people and the land. Many have become lovers of money and themselves, disobedient to parents, unholy like hell. Darkness, deep darkness, covers the people and the land. Light is come, glory of the Lord risen upon you now. Let your holy light shine. Rise, shine, light is come, glory of the Lord risen upon you now. Let your holy light shine. Let your holy light shine. Rise, shine, light is come. Glory of the Lord risen upon you now. Let your holy light shine. Oh, let it shine. Let it shine. Let your holy light shine. There's a place that I know where no one can go. A secret place in my soul. In my closet I go to meet the one I love so. In the garden of beauty carries me away.
Carries me away.
the trials carries me. Oh, when I need a friend, he carries me all the way. Oh, carries me through thick and thin. He carries me.
Yes, go ahead, Tony. If you could share a word and everybody else, we can mute our phones.
Sure. Well, Jerry, thank you for asking me to share something real quick. One of the things that fuels what we've been doing with the Sons of Thunder is the marriage of worship and prayer together. The idea for us is that I've come to the realization that prayer and worship are basically the same, the two sides of a coin, where both of them are talking to God. One is talking to God as a conversational. The other is singing to God with words that have rhyme, rhythm, and pitch. So both of them are based in the area of faith, that we believe that God hears us. And so when we pray and worship and intercede, we're believing that God hears that. And for us, the whole idea of prayer is the center part. And it's something that is very important that we're wanting to bring back to the church. Because the church in general, in the last, probably from the 80s going into 2000, the last 20 years has had a revival of worship, especially worship done with music. And this idea of intimacy with God has been birthed out of that. But what's interesting is when we look at Acts, the first part of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, when it says that they devoted themselves to these things. Our churches, in general, we're wanting to add people to the kingdom of God, but we come up with programs and ideas and ways to add people. But yet, what it said that the early church did is it says that they devoted themselves to the apostolic teaching, to the teaching of the apostles. They devoted themselves to house fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And then a couple of verses down it says, and God added to their numbers. So our heartbeat with ministry, and if we can encourage other ministries out there, is if we'll stop focusing on programs to get people in seats and focus on what the church was devoted to, the teaching of the apostles, the house-to-house fellowship, the breaking of bread, the body and blood of Jesus, and prayer. What's interesting is when we skip a little bit farther forward in Acts, the apostles were so overwhelmed with social programs, feeding people, that they came to this conclusion. They said, we are missing our mark. We're going off track. And they said, and the idea that they had was they called the church and asked them to present people to be servers, or what we call deacons. That's what it means to serve. And the idea is they had certain criteria, men that could preach, men that were full of faith, men that were this. But it was interesting, the apostle said, pick these men out, we'll prove them, and we'll place them in the ministry. For we need to devote, and they're saying that we need to devote ourselves to prayer and the study of Scripture. So it's interesting that the whole idea was, man, we're missing our mark with prayer. Let's get back to prayer, study Scripture. And I think this is real important, because every revival throughout history has started as a prayer meeting. Anywhere.
Come on now, amen.
From the Welsh revival, you know, Evan Roberts started with a group of kids with a prayer meeting, crying out, God bend us, to change the language, and God bend me, and God showed up. We go to even some of the most recent revivals, like the Azusa revival, Azusa Street, Jesus movement that blew him out of that, and it came from William Seymour having a house prayer meeting, praying, and there's stories that the prayer and the worship got so thick that there was smoke coming out of the building, and that the fire department would come and show up because somebody thought the house was on fire. And it wasn't. It was the presence of God that was so powerful. So all of these revivals, even one that's right up the road from us here in Nashville in Kentucky, the Red River Revival, and we've actually gotten to play at the location of the Red River Revival. They've got a nice log cabin. It's not the original one, but it's a log cabin church that's on the same property. That we've gotten to pray and play there and do revival meetings in that area. That started as prayer meetings. So if all of these revivals that we're asking for God to save our country, shift it, started as prayer meetings, the church, and I just want to look at just a couple quick passages. Acts chapter 1, the church started as a prayer meeting. How can we not start revivals as a prayer meeting when the church itself? And if you look in Acts chapter 1, verse 12, it says, and this is after Jesus went to heaven and he told them to go. It says, the next verse, then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. And this is verse 14. They all joined together continuously in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. It says they joined together continuously in prayer. And the thing with prayer is when we pray together, it bonds the hearts of people. There's something that when I hear men, bonds our hearts together. We're crying out for unity in the body of Christ, but yet we don't pray together. And we wonder why we strive
Amen.
Issues of trying together. It's because our hearts need to be knit together in the Lord, not knit together in our actions. And when we see it, it says that they came together in one accord. And when we're praying, we're interceding with the great intercessor himself, Jesus, on the throne. We are entering into Jesus' heavenly ministry that he's doing right now. And so in that prayer, when we're praying, our hearts are being knit to his. And just like we said earlier, that we've learned that when Jesus Christ is being revealed, our hearts burn with fire in response to who he is. So, of course, as we're praying in groups, we're getting knit together. When we're praying in groups, we're being knit to the heart of God. And here's a quote from S.D. Gordon. He says, "Prayer strikes the winning blow. Service is simply picking up the pieces." I think that's powerful because a lot of times we will talk to men about God more than we'll talk to God about men. And so the church, so where I'm really trying to just get this idea is, man, if we could stir the hearts of people to gather together continuously in prayer, it will birth the move of God. It will birth the church. And when the Holy Spirit starts pouring out like he did, then people will begin to preach with boldness because of prayer that has been laid at the feet of the Lord for hours and hours and hours of intercession. And what I find interesting is the church starts to explode in the first few chapters, and then when we go to Acts chapter 4, now the church has started to have a thing of when we pray, our prayers are going into the heavenlies, and it starts causing things to happen because we're wrestling with principalities that are in the heavenlies. And so the church now started to get this oppression, and things started happening. And at this point in Acts chapter 4, the disciples have been thrown in jail, and the people are crying out because now they're going, "God, what do we do?" And it's kind of what's happening here in America right now, where we're seeing persecution break out across the land. And it's coming against the church and Christians who are standing up for biblical truths, especially biblical truths on marriage, that God has made marriage one man and one woman. And we're seeing an onslaught now, and we're seeing government-sanctioned oppression and people being put in jail because they're holding to the King of Kings rather than the Supreme Court. So what we're seeing is even to a place of trying to silence the church, to not even speak of what sin is. We don't even want to hear about sin. And so there's a movement in the church that's even come to the place that the church has bought into this idea of tolerance, and that we should just love people and not say anything that would cause them angst or something. But yet here in the early church, in Acts chapter 4, when that persecution hit, people were being put in jail. What they responded with was this. This is starting at verse 24. It says, "When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer." So they had a prayer meeting. And this is right after Peter and John went back to the people after they reported about the chief priests and elders saying to them and putting them in jail. And it says, they said in prayer meeting, "Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by your Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David." I just want to catch something real quick on this. Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, holy is thy name." He starts the Lord's Prayer with prayer, with praise and worship, declaring who God is. If we want to start a prayer meeting and we want to start praying, I suggest we start with the Lord's Prayer model. The next thing he goes to in the Lord's Prayer model is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." So he starts it with, "Our Father who art in heaven, holy is thy name." He starts off with the infiniteness of God. And then he also demonstrates the intimacy of God in that opening passage. And here we see it. Again, when they started off, you who made, they're starting about praising God for what he's done. And they're declaring, and they're reminding him of, this is actually out of Psalms chapter 2. Why do the nations plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and his anointed one. Then they go on in verse 29. And he says, now, Lord, consider the threats, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miracles, signs, and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So my encouragement would be for the body of Christ is labor in that prayer. Starting the prayer with the praise and the worship, declaring who God is. Then, as Jesus transitions, to intercede, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And in interceding, what we're asking for is great boldness. That's what they responded to. Being persecution produced boldness because of prayer, and prayer that declared who God is and what God has done. And you see, the whole reason for the Great Commission, we know Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Jesus, teaching them to obey all things that Christ has commanded. What we forget is what the therefore starts with, and the therefore started with in Matthew 28. Jesus saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. See, what they're quoting in Psalms chapter 2 is where God, it says he laughs at his enemies, and he hands, because he's given the nations an inheritance to Jesus. And at the very end of it, of Psalms chapter 2, it says, kiss the Son, lest he be mad. Worship him for who he is. And so the idea that I just would really encourage is take the Lord's Prayer. Let's have prayer meetings. And the thing is anybody can do it. It only takes two or three people to have that prayer meeting. And you can use the Lord's Prayer. We're going to start with that first, let's say we're going to do 1 hour. We'll start with that first 15 minutes or that first 20 minutes. And we'll pray, thy kingdom, you know, before we pray, thy kingdom come, we'll pray, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Beautiful are you, magnificent, glorious. And you are my Father, intimate, lover of my soul. And that produces the faith. Now we can intercede and we can pray for those subjects, for our church, for our families, that God would change our government, that God would change an outpouring of people to pour out his spirit, that we would have boldness. And then we can pray the last part where deliver us from evil. Give us today our daily bread. And so we're praying. He already gave us a model. And I guarantee you, we've been doing these prayer meetings now. An hour goes by so fast. And just praying who he is and what he's done, interceding, and then praying about the deliver us from evil and give us our daily bread. The problem is we turn most prayer meetings in, and most of our prayer lives, is give us our daily bread. God, give us this. God, yeah. Give us that. But that's not the model he gave us.
Right,
the model
right.
He gives us is much bigger and starts with the praise of who he is. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. I just hope that encourages someone that just remember that the church started as a prayer meeting, all revival started as a prayer meeting, and prayer is really not that hard. And once you just use the Lord's model that he gave us, we can pray for an hour and very easily do that. And if you got worship and music together, it makes it easier to go longer. And that's what we do at the Sons of Thunder. Is for us, we love to be invited to places, but if we get an invitation for like 5 minutes or 10 minutes, man, we're just getting warmed up at that point. For us, we love those two-hour meetings or longer where we can really get the Word of God and worship together and pray and intercede and declare the greatness of God. And those are where we love to participate in that. And so it's just exciting that what God's doing in opening doors for prayer and worship and stirring that up in the body of across the boards. And I think you asked, the last thing I'll say on that is you asked a question earlier about do we see that the there's a change in the body of Christ? And I am encouraged, and I would say the rest of the guys are too, that we are hearing across the board that the people are hungry and desperate for something. And because there's nothing that's working, it seems like, that they're desperate for prayer. And so with the prayer, people are coming out in numbers for prayer meetings, which we've not seen that before. So we are encouraged, and I hope that word encourages some people.
Yes. Now, listen, Bride, this is Tony Nobles that brought that word. He is very involved in Nashville, in the Nashville House of Prayer. He is a man of prayer. He's been a part of the traveling ministry with Bob Perry, traveling across the state. Am I right, Tony?
Yes.
Traveling yes. across the state of Tennessee in prayer with trying to align themselves with city leaders in different cities inside the state of Tennessee. So he's trying to encourage the bride today that prayer is as much worship as singing is. And so I do pray that the bride listens to that because it is very true. Prayer is very intimate. And it is true about the revivals. Prayer is what brought those revivals in. Now listen, guys, I'm going to ask each one of you this. I give you 5 minutes each. And we're going to start with Dwayne because he's been so patient waiting. Now listen, if y'all had 5 minutes to talk to the American bride about current day events, either giving them a warning or a word of exhortation, what would you say, Dwayne?
Well, I know what God's put on my heart, and that's for the church to turn back to Him with their whole hearts. In Numbers 14:24, I was just reading this week. God really spoke to me through this. It was talking about Joshua had a different spirit than the rest of the guys that went spying out the land, and that he followed God with his whole heart. That is what God wants from us. He wants us not to put our hand to the plow and look back. He wants to follow us wholeheartedly, and that will mean, you know, a repentance, a turning from the world and turning to Him. And we have been seeing, you know, we've been playing for lots of, it seems like even smaller groups of people that are kind of pulling themselves out of the status quo churches, and they're really hungry people, you know, and there's all these groups and they're scattered everywhere. But man, they really seem sold out, and that encourages me. I know that is what God's doing. He is calling us out. He's calling us to follow Him. You know, He says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That should be our marker.
Right. Okay, Cliff, what would you say to the bride in 5 minutes?
Well, I would say that there is a remnant that God is calling out, and it ain't going to be the whole church. And I would say that in these last days that He's calling a bride, like Dwayne was saying, to lay it all down. And you know, in the word of God in Revelation, in the Church of Sardius, and the other church, I forget the name of it now, but it says Jesus said, "I will come on you like a thief." Well, He's talking to the dead church. And the lukewarm church, the Laodicean, okay, the Sardius and the Laodicean. If you read those two books or about the churches that Jesus addressed in the last days, he said, "I will come on y'all like a thief in the night." He's not coming on the believers like a thief in the night, which, you know, if you hear the talking heads talking about all this stuff, they'll tell you, "Oh, He's coming on you like a thief in the night." Well, if you keep reading what Jesus said, He said, "But He will not come on you like a thief in the night." He's talking to the disciples, which is the church, which is the real church, the true church, the remnant that is called out. And I would just say that, you know, we got to get out from underneath these programs and trying to appease men to come into our churches. And we got to get down and start praying and don't worry about what they think. Let them leave. You know, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of pastors going to have to stand before God one day. And Tony's asking me to teach all the time, and I tell him, I'm scared. I don't know, man, because they're going to be judged more harsh than anybody, the teachers and the pastors. And I'm afraid to open my mouth sometimes. I just want to make sure I say what I'm supposed to say and not, you know, to appease men. But that's what I would say to the church.
Now, Cliff, let me say this. It is very true that it is sad when people stay in a church when they see the leadership is erring. We see that now with these big-time preachers on TV that are now teaching way off in false doctrine, not even funny. It's right. So false. And people just stay there. They don't, like, have a relationship. I don't know what it is if they're not having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, but they definitely need to hear the Holy Spirit before they do a man. Right. And to make sure that everything they're saying is lining up with the Word. You know, like even the Catholic now, the priest, the Pope, he's saying that, you know, they're going to have to reconsider their position on the homosexual agenda. So, you know, just stuff like that, I agree with you. We have got to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and be led by Him first. Okay, Tony, now we know that you exhorted the bride about prayer, but what would you say about current day events as far as an exhortation or a warning, Tony?
And I got 5 minutes, right?
Yes, sir. Five only.
I think there is two things that are probably in the land. Confusion and fear. And we know the Lord said, fear not. Every time He sends an angel, the opening lines we see over and over is a theme of fear not, fear not, fear not. With so much going on, you know, we've got all kinds of confusion that's happening. There's, you know, things of signs and wonders that are in the sky, and we've got all kinds of predictions about what's going to happen, and is this the end of days at this time? Anywhere from, you know, people that are completely confused on what is God's prophetic end time timeline that's going on, to people completely confused about sexuality, people confused about the direction of our nation and world events. It seems like everything is upside down. So I think there's a lot of angst in the body of Christ and a lot of confusion. And so because of that, our response is either fear, and we're doing things out of fear, or we're doing things out of confusion. And when we get confused, we start to shut down. It's like the church will either become fearful, or we'll stick our head in the sand and hope it all goes away. So if there's anything that I could encourage, that when I see this time of what's happening, is one is you heard my exhortation on prayer. This is the darkest and the finest hour of the church in America. Where we have been in a place where we've seen ups and downs and throughout history, if you study the history, that there's been high moments and there's been low moments, but we're again in that valley, that we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but yet the Lord is with us. And so what I would suggest is what happened to me is when I got into the prayer movement and I started with an example labor and start the Clarksville House of Prayer. And for 3 years, the only thing God dealt with me was He dealt with me on the gospel message. And I was asking God for signs and wonders and deep revelations and angels and heavens and all this stuff because I figured that's where that was going to go. And for 3 years, He focused on the gospel message. Maybe because I'm a little thick and a little slow to learn sometimes, but at 3 years I finally got why the gospel was so important. It makes me think of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, that when they started to build, they built the foundation, but it was soft, and so as they built continually up, the tower began to lean more and more and more, and over the years it continued to lean. They finished the tower that leans, and it was supposed to be the bell tower that calls out people for worship and prayer. So what they've had to do over the last several years is spend enormous amounts of money to shore up the foundation to keep the tower from continuing to lean and topple over. I think that's what's happened to the church in America, is that when we pray and we started the revivals were based on the message of the gospel. And one of the things I think for the center part of that gospel is Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes to them and says, therefore, my friends, this is starting at 12 and 13, therefore, my friends, you do, as you have always in the past obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I'll make this real quick because about you working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And it is about you doing something that causes God to be indebted to you. You've done more good than bad, and now God owes you something. That's not the gospel message. That is what happens in religious churches that we will preach. You must be good. You need to do these things. And so there's a whole generation of people that have left the church because they've seen the hypocrisy of people who say you must be good and they can't be. They've seen the church with scandal after scandal falling away from this young generation who doesn't want a thing that you must do. But he goes on in verse 13 to tell us what the gospel message is. It says, for it is God in you, so it is being born again. There's only two people in the world. They're the unregenerated people, those that are not born again, whose destiny is a lake of fire, and those that are born again, who have the sonship of Jesus Christ, who are in Christ, they born again for you, for it's God in you, who works in you to will. So when we're born again, we have the desires for God. You see, you can't just slap something on the front of it and call it Christian. You can't have gay Christianity. You can't have gay marriage. You can't have any of these things that we stick a sin on the front of it and call it Christian that makes it okay. It's not. Because right here it says that if Christ is in you, he wants to do the will of the Father. And that would be a horrible place if that's where we were left at, being born again and then a desire to do God's will but can't because sin rules and reigns in our body. But he says here to work, to will, and to do according to the will of God. So we have a grace that comes on us to do God's will. And then the last thing is he says, this is for God's good pleasure. I think the church in America has forgotten that we've become desiring a therapeutic deity. We want a God who is a therapist for us to make us our best life now, how to make us better, how to make our all about us. And it says here that the message of the gospel, us being born again, having the desires of God, having the grace of God to do it, is for God's good pleasure. And for us, what we've realized is that when we walk in that with repentance, repent for the kingdom of God is here, we need words like repentance, and we need words like sin to be used again in the church. But we need the word of grace to be used correctly. And the grace is the power of God to do the will of God. And with that, if we'll go back to that gospel message, it fixes how we do worship. It fixes how we do prayer. It fixes how we preach. It fixes how we do ministry. It fixes the whole direction of the church. It's a foundation that writes that Tower of Pisa in this hour. So if it's my encouragement for the situation of the church where we're at, let's return to the gospel message of being born again and having the grace of God that frees us from the power of sin. Because it says when the angel came to Joseph, he didn't say, Jesus saves you from hell. He said in Matthew, the angel said to Joseph, you shall name this son Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Hell is just a result of sin. Sin is what he saves us from. And so we need to get back to that. And I think with that kind of foundation, that kind of preaching, and that kind of prayer will spark a revival of born-again Christians throughout our nation who then will vote and put people in office and people in leadership that are born again, and it will right our nation. And we can have the greatest harvest in our nation by preaching the gospel and by praying.
Yes, well, thank you so much for your 5-minute explanation, Tony.
Oh, we love you anyways, Tony. Listen, Bribe, we are going to come together in agreement for Sons of Thunder. So we do this on every broadcast. We pray for the ministry. So we're asking, Bride, that we all come together and pray for this group. Amen. So, Lord, we just come before you right now today. We thank you so much for the power of agreement. Your word says that when two or three agree is touching anything, that prayer will be answered. There is no distance in the spirit. So we're coming together in agreement right now over Sons of Thunder. We thank you, God, for them having the revelation of who you are and the revelation of what true worship is, Lord. And when they worship before your people, they are able to bring your presence to them, to bring another revelation of who you are, God. We thank you for putting this group together. We thank you, Lord, for everything that they have been through, to bring their life together for such a time as this, Lord. All of the heartaches, all of the pain, Lord, because now you're using all of it, Lord, for your glory. You brought them here on this broadcast for such a time as this, and we thank you and give you praise, Lord. We thank you for the glory that's being revealed while they worship, Lord, and while they sing to you, Lord. And we thank you for the doors that are opening, Lord, and we just give you glory and honor today and over every person on this team. We pray the blood of Jesus over them, Lord. We come against every demonic attack that would try to take them out in the spirit in the name of Jesus. We know that our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's with the principalities and the powers of the air. And I thank you, God, that the bride comes together in agreement, and we put up a shield and a standard against that in Jesus' name. We thank you, God. We ask that you send forth a host of angels, Lord, to come down and protect these families, Lord. We say that the mission that you have called them to do shall come to pass in Jesus' name. Everything that you have designed for this team shall come to pass, Lord. All of the doors opening, all of the floodgates, Lord, everything open. In Jesus' name, we come against any hindering spirit, anything that would be a block in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you, God, for increasing in the prophetic, Lord, increasing in downloads of songs, Lord, of ways to get your bride, Lord, to engage with you, God. We thank you and give you praise, and we pray for every tool and strategy that they are going to need downloaded from heaven in the name of Jesus, Lord, that they would have everything, provision, everything, vehicles, the equipment, the people that they need to help with sound and everything in the name of Jesus coming to them, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for calling them to us to bless us, Lord, for such a time as this. So together as the bride, we pray right now, lifting them up, Lord, holding up their arms, Lord, and just thanking heaven today for their lives and the price that they have paid to give that anointing, Lord, to your bride. And we thank you and give you praise for it, God, for you are holy and you are just and you're coming back after a people without spot and wrinkle, Lord. And you're helping us, Lord, all to get there, Lord, especially when we come together in unity, Lord, like this, Lord, coming together to lift up each other, what you have called each other to do, Lord. So we thank you and give you praise today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Tony, I can't let you get off here without asking you and your people to pray for the bride.
Amen. Amen. Father, we just come before you, and we thank you for what you're doing in your bride across the land. Father, we thank you. And, Father, in Colossians, you said, by your word, for this reason, since we've heard day that about the faith that you have, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray that this, in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruits in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. So, Father, we're praying for the church. We're praying that, God, you would fill us with a knowledge of your will, give us some knowledge, revelation, not just head knowledge, but supernatural knowledge that comes by
the Holy Spirit.
Father, would you speak to us dreams and visions like you did with Dwayne? Father, would you speak to us by fire from the pulpit? Father, would you speak to us through prayer and intercession? Father, will you speak to the bride and give her all spiritual wisdom and a deeper understanding of the love of God, the nature of God,
who you are,
the revelation. Reveal yourself from the Scriptures, Father, to the church. We pray that we may order to live a life worthy. Father, we pray that the church would be worthy in this hour, Father, for what you have done, that the church would bear good fruit. Father, we bear the fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit. Father, we want to partner with the Holy Spirit in this hour, Lord. Give us understanding and strategies that the church can partner with you, that the fruit that is born by your Spirit. And, Father, we pray for past. God, with your power, with great endurance, Father, give her patience and joyfully, Father, that we give thanks to who you are. Father, that we would begin to understand the inheritance that we have as sons and daughters in the kingdom. And let us walk as kingdom sons and daughters. And, Father, that we could walk as ambassadors of Christ, declaring to the world that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. This we pray for the body of Christ. This we pray for June and her ministry. And, Father, we pray blessings on them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes.
Okay, Bride, now listen, you're going to be able to meet this group at the Nashville Authors and Artists Expo on October 17th, on Saturday. October 17th from 11 to 2, and then 2 to 3 is worship. So come on by and meet these guys. They're very loving, and I'm sure they'll give you a great big old Nashville hug. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Y'all have a blessed day today.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.